Welcome to the Empowered Whistleblower Podcast. Are you one of many Americans who are tired of people being bullied and discriminated? You are not alone. Bullying has a rippling effect on the person who is being harassed and everyone associated with the bullied person. The targeted adult or child may have been physically or psychologically bullied. They often bring home their anguish with them, and this can have a crippling effect on everyone associated with the one who's being bullied or discriminated. It's time to shed some light on how to reduce bullying in the school systems, how to create safe and healthy work environments for employees. I blow the whistle on how to protect yourself if you're being bullied and educate listeners on their rights if they're being bullied or discriminated. I bring in the best experts who provide empowering strategies, tips on resiliency, how to handle the experience of being bullied or discriminated, how to heal and overcome the effects of being mistreated. If you are ready to gain knowledge and insights on bullying and discrimination, you are in the right place. Welcome to the Empowered Whistleblower Podcast. Hi, and welcome to the Empowered Whistleblower podcast. I always forget to say that. And I am Dawn Westmoreland. I am the host of the Empowered Whistleblower podcast. Today, I have somebody from Canada on the show. And I'd like to say I'm excited, but I'm also a little saddened that there's bullying over there in Canada. Her name is Linda Ray Crockett, and she is a psychotherapist. Hi, welcome, Linda Ray. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Thanks for having us from Canada speak.
Yeah.
It's good to share.
Yeah, we're talking before the show about it. We both had a long day. So I know you're an advocate over there in Canada. You're in Calgary. What I'd like to share with our listeners, because, you know, I have people from different countries listening in, and it's amazing. Some of them are Canadians, you know, some in Brazil, some in Australia here, some in the United States. What do you do over there in Canada to help with the bullying issues?
Well, first of all, I want to say, you know, we have it in Canada just like you have it in the U.S. It is all over the world. There isn't any area in our world that isn't impacted by this workplace abuse. It is an epidemic. I'm quoting Dr. Gary Namy of the Workplace Bullying Institute, who trained me about 10 years ago after I did my master's in this area. It's an epidemic then, and it's an epidemic now everywhere. We're all dealing with it. So I wish we would address it as a world issue and not separate our countries. But when I am from Edmonton, Alberta, just to clarify that, but I created this service about 8 years ago because I was going through it. And it wasn't just one episode. By that time, I had been in my profession of social work for 22 years. 30 now, but at that time, every industry I ever worked in, I either witnessed bullying or I experienced bullying, either one-to-one or in mobbing situations or from leadership. And for those 22 years, I just didn't know what it was about. I didn't know what was happening to me. I kept leaving the job, going back for another university degree or thinking it would better in another place, but it just kept happening. So when I finally hit bottom with the abuse that I was suffering, I reached out for help and there was nothing for me. And any of the therapists that I did see actually made things worse for me because they really didn't know what they were dealing with. Mm-hmm. They didn't understand that this was actually trauma that they were looking at. And workplace bullying trauma is quite different than other forms of trauma. So I decided that once I had my recovery in place, I would start a resource and fill this massive gap that is needed to train other therapists, to advocate, to offer services for employees, but also for employers. We are not going to create change unless we look at every side of this epidemic.
I have to agree. And I know you've had a long day and I've had a long day. We've both been working around the bullying issue. Now I'm going to quote something that's on your website, and we're also going to give your website information at the end of this episode. Your mandate is to inspire hope and contribute to the safety and well-being of all ages, cultures, communities, and professions concerned and or affected by psychological harassment and bullying. What I love about your website is a lot of people go out there and they say, we're going to fight bullying or we're an anti-bullying group, which is kind of a negative connotation, but what you're doing is you're getting the word out that we have resources, we're here to help you. So what kind of resources do you have? What kind of services do you have, Linda?
So I'm trying to offer a mix because it's going to take a team of resources. So when somebody calls me, they just want information about next steps, where to go, what's best for their situation, I'll offer a consultation. Sometimes that will lead to some coaching. I have some HR consultants in their own practice that will offer some workplace coaching. So maybe they're struggling. I got a call today and it was from a woman who felt very disrespected in her position. And she didn't need any counseling. She didn't need any legal advice. What she needed was some coaching on how to be assertive and how to stand up for herself. So that's kind of the basics there, information, some coaching. And sometimes they need a name of a good lawyer. Sometimes they need to know what is the best step. Should they go through human rights? Should they go to occupational health and safety? Those kind of information consultations. And then there's oftentimes, more often than I'll get calls from different professionals that are quite distraught and they're quite traumatized by, well, they've waited too long to call for one reason. We're professionals, we're adults, we think that we can fix it ourselves. But sadly, if you've been targeted, you can't fix it yourself. It actually, you try to work harder and do better, it actually makes it worse because the person that is targeting you is feeling even more threatened. So by the time they call, they do need some therapy. If it's short-term exposure, it's short-term therapy. But if it's long-term, it could take a bit more time to do some recovery work before we can then look at some next steps and information sharing. So there's that. That's one side to it. I also get calls from investigators that have finished their investigation. They've identified that there are some targets who have been harmed, and they also identified instigators or those who are acting out with bullying and harassing behaviors. And what I do is I work with those targets to get them stabilized and help them work through the experience. But I also work with those who've been identified as bullies or harassers, and I do a rehabilitation program with them so that that can create some long-term sustainable change in the workplace. When the offenders come to me, it is a mandatory process, but so far I've had full success with them buying into it. After the first two sessions with me, they buy in, they want the change, and it works really well. In addition to that, we do training. We train in leadership. We train leaders, HR, unions, medical teams, but we also train frontline staff. And we offer help with their policies and procedure development and orientation to new staffs. So we're trying to look at all sides of it.
Yeah.
And really, you know, create long-term change. So.
Yeah, I love everything you do. I mean, you're very well-rounded. You're not just a coach. You're not just an attorney or a mental health professional, what we'd call on our side. You offer so many ways for people to receive help. And I like what you were talking about coaching when people come to you is helping to empower them to stand up on their own two feet. That's very important.
Well, the thing about some people are just introverted, some people are shy, some people are not used to speaking up, so that's pretty basic. But then there's some people who have, you know, the impact of bullying, it really takes their voice away. And some people in long-term bullying have lost their sense of self, they've lost their confidence, they've lost their self-esteem. So that's part of healing the trauma first, and then rebuilding that self, bringing them back to who they are. And then giving them the tools to empower themselves through taking new steps, different steps, new choices.
Yeah,
I think you probably know what I mean when I say people that finally pick up the call and ask for help are feeling pretty stuck and pretty hopeless. And that's the trauma. You know, when we're full of that anxiety and fearfulness and even a bit of paranoia and all those emotions and depression, we can't see straight. Mm-hmm. We don't have clarity, and our ability to see options is really, really limited. And so we need some time for healing and processing and support and safety building before we can even hear options that we wouldn't have considered before.
Absolutely. And you know, what I really appreciate is your transparency, saying that you were bullied and you know the resources weren't out there, but today more and more people are seeing the need to get out there to speak, to write, to do the work that you're doing and to help people. So I know you have some success stories, and we're not going to get into privacy of people's names or companies or businesses, but do you have a success story that you'd love to share with somebody that might be listening in? Maybe they're being bullied and they're clueless. They need help. They need empowerment, or they need resources. Do you have a story or two?
Well, story, you know, success comes is different for different people, right? So sometimes it's about getting that validation by the employer, and I have seen cases where the target felt that it was impossible, they were never going to get validated, but I've seen it happen where they got validated and the person that was harming them was then let go. I've also seen, a validation come in a different form where the target left the job, got a new job, thought they would never get any kind of validation, and later found out that the offender was fired. So some people call that success. Another form of success is when I see an employer call ahead of time and say, "Hey, I want to prevent this from ever happening to people in my company. Will you come and do an assessment and let us know what we need to do so we don't ever see this happen?" And I want to give those employers, and they're rare, but they happen, and that's inspiring and hopeful for me. I want to give them awards for doing it right. They're not just coming in for training to get to check the boxes. They really do care about the employees and want to make change. And I do know that's rare. But I still think we need to focus on the good ones, the good stories.
And now you're speaking my language, because I get asked all the time, would you do 2 hours of training on sexual harassment? And I'm like, I could do 2 hours of sexual harassment training. My background is in human resources. I've been in 27 years in human resources, and I'm a life coach. But the issue is, we got to find out what the core of the issue, what's really going on, which often involves consulting and getting to the core of the issue. Why would you need sexual harassment training more than to check the box?
Well, nowadays, when I see employers that just want to check that box, I say, I hand out all of the attendees a certificate that says you've been trained. So if there's another incident of bullying or sexual harassment after you've been trained, any case of harassment or bullying, any lawyer is going to say, "Hey, you can't play dumb here. You've been trained. You've got the certificate." So now you have higher accountability. So that's one of the good things about getting trained and giving a certificate. They can't play ignorant any longer. So I think that's one of the feedbacks that I give to employers. If you're bringing us in, we're giving you certificates, that makes you even more accountable now.
Oh, I agree 100% for sure. And I know here in the United States, we have the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. And if it's found out a company has harassment going on and nothing's done about it, they can be held accountable. So it's the training is needed, the awareness is needed. So, some people might call it civility training, but bystander training. All of this is all very important to bring awareness and to educate people. So you've been in this field for a while. You have quite a long experience, and so I know you have a lot of wisdom. And as a psychotherapist, can you answer what causes people to bully others?
A
That's a
million,
tough one.
it's never going to be a one brush answer or explanation for how people react or why people bully. But I can give you a couple of incidences. I see quite a pattern of employers hiring people and putting them in leadership positions before they're equipped to be a leader. So they don't have the experience, they haven't got the training, they're not ready for that level of responsibility. And as far as I'm concerned, sometimes you're hiring your buddy, somebody you owe a favor, or you're hiring a family member, and you're putting them in positions they don't belong in yet. So you're setting them up, because in comes their employee who's more skilled and has the kind of skills you wish you had, and all of a sudden you're feeling threatened in your leadership position. I see a lot of that. And I think that we need to look at our hiring practices and hire with merit and make sure that we're mentoring our leaders and that we're expecting, regular training of leadership. and really setting our leaders up to be successful. Because as you know, mm-hmm. 74 to 77% is of the bullying is coming from leadership. So we really need to look at our hiring practices and what we're expecting from our leaders. And I think the other part of that is too, that we still have the old boys club and the old girls club out there from the 1970s and 80s that were trained in authoritarian leadership style, which, you know, that's just not working anymore. Even in construction and oil and gas, that style has to change. Things are changing with our legislation and our policies. So those are some reasons. A few other reasons might be mental health issues that have not been either diagnosed or misdiagnosed, or they're not treated, they're not taking treatment. Sometimes it's burnout, sometimes it's addictions, mm-hmm. sometimes it's grief and loss, they'd have unresolved grief and loss. Sometimes it's chronic pain and medications, and sometimes there's an alternative agenda. They'll just step on anybody to get where they want to go, or they're having an affair in the workplace and they're trying to hide that. I've seen all of it. And sometimes we just have a narcissist or a psychopath or a sociopath, but those are the minority. Those are not the majority. So we have to look at all the above and figure out what's going on.
Yeah, and you mentioned Dr. Gary Namy, and I was in an interview recently, and I was asked about, you know, what kind of people get bullied. Well, you know, whistleblowers do, but I also reference what he says on his website, Workplace Bullying Institute, is a lot of these people that are bullied are kind, empathetic, good people. They're well educated, mm-hmm. and maybe the bully might be jealous of them. And as you said, Linda, they could be a psychopath, they could be a narcissist. I mean, so many things. So,
well, could I add to that? Because what you're saying is so, that is so important, what you're saying. And I make it a pattern with every target that I work with. I tell them what the research says. And the research says that the profile of a target is, in most cases, that they're hardworking, ethical, loyal, dedicated, and they go above and beyond. Now, I've seen thousands of clients over the last 5 years, either in one-to-one or in training sessions, thousands, and I'm telling you the research is correct. 98-99% of the people I have met and worked with and gotten to know in therapy, I would hire them. They are actually an employer's dream.
Wow.
But the problem is we've got insecure leaders out there in some shape or form. I mean, happy people do not bully.
I agree.
You know, mm-hmm. as far as I'm concerned, trauma shows up in many, many ways, you know, many, many forms of trauma, and anger and agitation and irritation and just dissatisfaction. That's some signs of depression, anxiety, and potentially some form of trauma. So I'm not saying all bullies have been traumatized. I think we've got lots of trauma walking around in our world. But the research is true. It's accurate. And I want people to hear that, because bullying makes us wonder what's wrong with us. It makes us full of self-doubt, and it makes us question our own sanity. And I want people to hear that. The research is accurate. You don't fit in the toxic soup. That's the problem, and that's a good problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what you're talking... Go ahead, Linda.
I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense to me. And, you know, here in the United States, you know, especially with our federal agencies, we have a big issue of nepotism, which is the hiring of family and friends. And then you get people that move up and they're not qualified to run programs or be supervisors. And then the next we know is everybody's complaining because we have problems in the federal government. And even in the private sector is putting the wrong person up above. And I've seen it myself, and I've interviewed people that are, you know, recruiters for hiring the right people here in the United States. You put the wrong person in, and one bad apple can just ruin the whole morale of the workplace. How do you feel about that?
Well, there's two comments I want to make to that. The comment about nepotism, well, we see that around the world, and you know, it's never going to stop. We are always going to have some form of nepotism. But I would hope that employers would have integrity and would want to set some policies about who works with who and who deserves that promotion. That's working with integrity, right? So that nepotism is something I work with on a regular basis, because I do work with First Nations on reserves, and I do work with Métis settlements as well. And that's one of the issues there. Sometimes they work and live with the bullies in their workplace, right? And so, geez, I'm going to lose my second point. What was it you were just saying? Because there was a second point.
We were talking about nepotism. I know, we were both talking. Everybody, we both had a long day. I had to give a speech today, and I had a lot of things going on. And you've had a long day with training. Yeah. But we were talking about nepotism, and you were talking about First Nation. And
No, there was something you were saying that made me think. I have 2 points: nepotism, and then the last thing you said.
People are getting promoted that don't have the skill sets, maybe.
It'll probably come back to me, but it was important. I know that much.
Yeah, but and if it comes back, we'll just jump in and we'll tackle it. So, so yeah, there's definitely a problem, and there's definitely a problem with bullying. And I'm so happy that you're out there doing that. So. You have other people on your team. Can we talk about who's on your team and what they also offer on as a course?
Sure. Well, I don't hire anybody. What I do is I recruit associates. So these are people that already that have their own businesses, much like yourself. And if I'm in need of an HR consultant, you know, we work as a team, and I'm familiar with their work. I don't just team up with anybody. I want to make sure they understand the depth of workplace bullying and harassment. You mentioned very early in the introduction that there's an awful lot of people hanging up their shingles right now. And I really do a thorough sort of a interview kind of get to know each other session, because I won't refer vulnerable people to other to people that don't know what they're talking about. You know, this is very, very complex, and I want to protect people. So I have a couple of consultants with, one is an ex-RCMP officer, so he has some excellent experience in training and offering presentations and doing some coaching. I have an HR consultant like yourself, and I'm always gathering. I'm looking for other therapists. There's never enough good therapists that really understand the concept of workplace bullying trauma. So we're always looking for more people that are in this field, because, you know, Canada is a big country, but I also get calls from the US and the UK and Australia. And I like to know where people are so I can refer them to resources there.
Yeah. And I like that you screen these people, because I do the same thing. And I can imagine that people contact you all the time and they tell you, oh, I hate bullying and I want to work with you, or I want to partner up with you. And we really do have to screen these people. I know recently somebody contacted me, hysterical, and they'd been bullied. I don't doubt it. When somebody says they've been bullied, I believe them. It doesn't matter what happened to them. It's the fact that they perceive they've been bullied. So anyway, but yeah, this person contacted me, said, let's work together, you know, and I had to tell him very politely, you're not in a position just yet to be the best advocate until you're in a place of calm, healing, and you're not traumatized. This person was still traumatized. Now, I'm not a mental health professional, and I was saying this in the kindest way that, you know, I became a life coach shortly after I was severely bullied, and I had to work on myself before I could get out there and even practice any kind of coaching. And even with consulting, I've, you know, before I do any HR consulting or speaking, we have to be in a place of being centered or balanced or whatever you want to call it, or what good are we to other people, right?
Well, exactly. You know, I think it's great that people who've been through this want to help in some way, but it's, we owe it to other vulnerable people that have been harmed to do our own recovery first. My motto is walk your talk, and that's how I do my own personal check-ins. Am I walking my talk today? It's kind of like a daily personal inventory. I want to practice what I preach. I want to walk my talk. So if you can say yes, then maybe you are ready, but we do need to do our recovery work. We need to be in a responsible place to, you know, be very regulated to be able to help somebody else, because sometimes people who've been bullied and want to help other people are really just wanting to get their own story out there.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I see that happening all the time, where you know, they don't have the capacity to really listen to another person. They just want to share their story. That's what therapy's for. And it's so important for you to be heard. It's so important for your story to be told. But get that all done and healed and leveled out and stabilized before you decide to start doing this as a career.
Yeah, that makes sense. You know, I had this discussion with a bunch of coaches online recently that were calling themselves healers. And I'm like, are we really as coaches healers? And I don't think we technically are healers. I think people heal themselves. But it's such an important role what a psychotherapist or mental health professional performs, you know, the validation and working with the person. And he or she may need more than one session. So
really important for, you know, there's plenty of work out there. There's plenty of different services that are needed, but it's really important for people to stay within their own scope of practice. So, I mean, if you're a coach, you're empowering people, you're helping them find their strengths and their best self. Healing, I don't think comes under coaching, but it's important for us to be really within our own scope, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. There's a time if somebody would come to me and they're so traumatized, I know fully well that that is not my skill sets. I might know how to help them, but ethically it's wrong. And I'm going to refer them to a mental health professional if they ask for one, or recommend that they seek the mental health care, because I don't know if it's like this with over in Canada, but here, like if we had some kind of discrimination case, retaliation, bullying, something like that, we always want to have medical records where a mental health professional, like I would call you a mental health professional, who's qualified to say, yes, this person is diagnosed with anxiety, depression, PTSD, whatever else, where a life coach couldn't do that. You know, even a spiritual person couldn't do that for the person. And that might be needed in a court hearing, for example.
Right.
Yeah.
And all therapists, all mental health therapists are different too. Some of us are not able to diagnose. And if we're being, you know, within our own practice and our own scope of practice and ethical, we refer to a psychiatrist for that assessment and diagnosis. I can certainly diagnose, but I want it backed up by a psychiatrist. I think we have to do what's right for us and again, walk our talk.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Well, as we wrap up, because I know it's been a long day for both of us, you're doing great things. I'm excited to know you and to find out all the different things you offer over there in Canada. So if somebody is in the United States and they contact you, can they work with you?
Yeah, you know, it depends. I mean, if I decide that I feel like they need somebody face-to-face, in person, closer, I will reach out and try and find someone in their area. So, I mean, I can at least do the initial consult to figure out what's best for them. And if it's a therapeutic, I mean, I Skype with people from the UK. So wherever they are, there's either me, somebody on my team, or we'll find somebody in your area.
Yes. And I know before we had this interview tonight, you were talking about training mental health professionals so they can handle clients that have been bullied. That's very important. Can we talk about that?
Yeah, I think as mental health therapists, we all have a good toolbox. We have a lot of good resources to access. But there's a few initial steps that I think, you know, a little bit of a better understanding of, I'm trying to talk in layman's terms, those first few sessions, there's some elements that a therapist would be really benefit some for some training from, and you know, some knowledge about legislation, about processes and what next steps. I'm not sure what you call it in the US, but we have occupational health and safety, we have human rights, we have labor standards. There's all these different processes that a therapist doesn't usually know a whole lot about. So we would train them in that area, and then we would show them a couple of techniques for stabilizing somebody and helping them understand what it is that they're seeing and how this is different from other types of trauma.
Yeah, because it's definitely different than other trauma. I know after being severely bullied, it took a long time to heal, and I found a lot of healing. It was very cathartic in writing. So I imagine for everybody, it's unique and different how they recover. But I do think mental health professionals play a very, very important role in recovery and treatment, for sure.
Well, some are specializing in cognitive behavioral therapy, and my recommendation is that you would not use that immediately, that that would be something that you would wait, because somebody who's traumatized by workplace bullying is already feeling extremely sensitive by the fact that everyone in the workplace has fully betrayed them, right? Mm-hmm. The leaders have betrayed them, the organization's betrayed them, their colleagues have betrayed them, and they're telling, you know, they've been hearing that they shouldn't be feeling what they're feeling. They didn't see what they saw. They didn't hear what they heard. So they're already feeling a little bit crazy and sensitive. And I try to describe it like they've walked into your office and they basically have no skin. Mm-hmm. So they're super sensitive. And right now, the last thing you want to do is start to try to tell them how they should change their thinking. You know, so initially, there's a period of relationship safety and validation that is so important. And the timing of cognitive behavioral, the timing of looking at some history, that's really important so that you don't cause some secondary harm there.
Yes, because I believe if somebody got with the wrong person, they could actually do more damage and more harm. And the experience of the person being bullied is unique to them. And I've had people just tell me, oh, it was the worst day of my life. The boss looked at me and gave me a dirty look. And, you know, for somebody more resilient, they may say, oh, my paycheck was cut off and now I can't pay my bills and my credit's going south. And, you know, but it's the perception of how we look at it. But you had talked earlier about people feeling safe when they have a team around them, like it could be an attorney, maybe an HR consultant, like yourself, a coach or something like that. They don't feel isolated. Mm-hmm. And so what I've heard you talk about tonight is just being able to provide people who need help that are being bullied, you're providing them resources so they don't feel alone and feel isolated. And that's empowering, very empowering.
You know, it's. I love the job. I love the work that I do. I never get tired of what I'm doing. You know, years ago, domestic violence and sexual assault was in the closet. Nobody talked about it. And, you know, today we are talking about domestic violence and sexual assault. We see there's resources, there's pamphlets, there's posters, there's commercials. If you remember how not too long ago, all that was quite silent and shaming.
Yes.
And today, I would say workplace bullying is what's in the closet, and that shame is what's keeping it alive. That's what's keeping it in the closet. And that shame is one of the most powerful tools in that offender or perpetrator's toolbox. And we have to remove that. We have to remove that shame. That means come out of the closet, start talking about it, right? Start sharing your story. Start learning about it. I was a social worker of 22 years. I investigated all kinds of abuse. I assessed all kinds of abuse. And there I was in the middle of abuse, and I didn't know what it was called. Nobody knew what this was. We didn't have a language for it. Mm-hmm. So my whole, what drives me is to give people a language. This is, here, identify it. Here's what the definition is. This is what the profile is. This is the signs. So use... Now we have a language. Now we can talk about it. And that, you know, the Me Too movement really helped things move along. So more people are talking about very drastic details of sexual abuse. Well, we can start talking about workplace abuse now. And I think that we're seeing more of that. And it's, you know, that silence and shaming is starting to diffuse a bit. And we need to keep that going.
Absolutely. You know, and, you know, I've been contacted to talk about men being bullied because I can only imagine maybe it's the same in Canada as it is in the United States. You know, for years and years, men have been conditioned to hide their feelings, but they're bullied pretty much as women here in the United States. Is it the same way over there?
Well, I can't emphasize enough that there's no difference between us other than the name of our country. We're the same.
Ah,
we're the same everywhere. Men, it's much more, I think men are much more silent. For 4 years of my practice, I saw primarily women. For this last year, all my clients are men.
Oh, be darn. Mm.
And yes, all of them are men, and there's many, many, many more. We're just touching the tip of the iceberg. There's many more. And I find when men come in, they wait so long. They're in such a state of depression and anxiety, and it's yeah. quite frightening, the suicidal ideation. You know, we want men to know that there is help out there. There's men and women like me that they can talk to, that they can get some sanity back. Don't hurt yourself. Come and get some help. There's some wonderful, wonderful people ready to support you.
Yeah, that's amazing. Because I know I have 7 brothers and stepbrothers, and I spent 20 years in the Air Force with a bunch of men. And, you know, I pretty much understand men, and I am glad we're getting rid of the stigma of mental health and the stigma of speaking up and also saying me too. Yes, me too. I've been harmed, whether I'm a male or female. Well, Linda, are there any parting words you want to leave the audience with? Anything that we've not discussed, any information coming up, any training, any events, anything going on that's we'd like to hear about?
Well, I want to bring attention to, you know, in the U.S., you've got Dr. Gary Namy, the Workplace Bullying Institute, and every October he does a Workplace Bullying Awareness Week, and we have kind of piggybacked him. We're keeping the same week. We hope to get that worldwide. There's lots of advertisement, and maybe, you know, share what you've learned. Share what you've learned and keep the conversation going. Keep people talking about it. And if anybody's in trouble, send them to your website, send them to my website. Mm-hmm. And just let people know there's help available. They're not alone. It's not your fault. Document what you're going through. Mm-hmm. Get some help.
Absolutely. So if anybody does want to reach out to you, what is the best way, I should say? What's the best way to reach out to you, Linda?
I would suggest that they go to my website first and have a look through, and the contact information, phone number, and email address is there.
Okay.
So the website address is abrc.ca.
Okay. And I'm also going to put that on the Blog Talk Radio so that we have that information. So it's been really nice to get to know you better, know what you offer. And just because you're in another country doesn't mean you can't reach out to Linda. And I know Linda will definitely, if she can't help you, I know she will definitely put you in the right direction. And I'm so thrilled that you're on the show. Thank you, Linda.
Thank you. Thank you so much for taking on this cause as well.
Yeah.
Glad to know you're up there. Thank
well,
you.
It takes a team. It really does, you know, and I remember discovering Dr. Namy's information and his research and the statistics and such. And it's much needed because we need something to compare to, you know, percentage of what's going on, you know, men and women and what kind of people are being bullied and resources out there, because it takes a team to empower people, to heal them, to help them recover, help them become resilient. So I thank you also for all your service.
There's one more website that I think that you should make known, because this is about international. It's called the International Association of Workplace Bullying and Harassment.
Okay.
And that's where all of us meet. Every 2 years, there's a conference. That's where the research is generated. There's all kinds of professionals there. So it's International Association of Workplace Bullying and Harassment. And that's where I found Gary Namy.
Well, I know he's out in Washington. I'm on the East Coast. But, you know, the more we can get out there and help people, the better, because there's so many people out there that need help. And the more good resources, the better. So thank you for sharing that last bit of information. Linda, thank you again. And to our listeners, stay empowered. Thank you for staying tuned to this episode. And I look forward to you coming back.
Thanks, Don.
Thank you for listening to the Empowered Whistleblower. As your host, I will continue to bring in the best experts to share their knowledge and empower our listeners. Nobody has to feel like a victim. There are solutions to bullying and discrimination. Everyone deserves to be treated with respect and dignity. All our future shows will offer practical guidance so that anyone can choose to stand up to bullying and discrimination. You deserve to be happy, and life is all about choices. I always welcome comments and suggestions for new shows. Please comment and share your ideas, and be sure to come back for more inspiration and empowerment. I am Dawn Marie Westmoreland signing off and wishing you much happiness and empowerment in your day.